Good morning, friends. I trust you're all well today on this beautiful, beautiful Sunday morning that we have. I want to start off by making announcements because I know my sermon, but announcements, do you know how difficult that is? Because it's not that spiritual, but it's very special. So I want to start off also by saying congratulations, congratulating all the mums here. I think some of them are leaving now, but it's wonderful to have you here. We love you and we bless you, and you're such an important part of our church. Okay, one down, guys. The second one, and the very important one, if I can ask Ronald just to stand for one second, please. We just want to, I guess we'll give the opportunity sometime, and we just want to thank God and glorify Him for the testimony of your life over the past 2 months and what God has done. And I just want to say here in church and in public, I know it's by God's grace you are standing here, and it's a wonderful testimony. If we can just give hands there. It's really special to have you here. And then you all know the big and strong David in church, but there's also a little David now in church, who is the son of Nudie and Karina. David is now about 4 weeks old. 3 weeks. Okay, we respect you for coming to church already. That's awesome. And we just want to congratulate you also from the church's side on your son, your first son, and may be a blessing to you, and that you may prosper as a family together. Amen. And many more. Then it's really great to see you guys. The last time that I was preaching, it was in the recording studio of Channel 7 this past week on a Tuesday. It was really weird to sit there in this small little place with a mic hanging like this, guy on the other side of the glass, and now they say when the red light starts, then I must start to preach. That's kind of weird, you know, but it's great to see people laugh or to have someone like a soundboard. I remember a year or what ago, I was one day preaching, and I thought I was doing okay, and then I saw Paul Botha and one or two guys starting to laugh, and I know something is wrong, you know, you start to check, is everything okay? And then he reminded me, I said that somewhere, we prayed for the girl to get sick. Now, of course, guys, if you're visiting here, we don't do that, but it's really nice to have an audience, I guess, and people to talk to, and to share the word this morning. So, just for those of you who listen to Channel 7 who want to listen to it, they did one recording and then 5 devotionals, Hope for the Day. The Hope for the Day will be broadcasted this week from Monday to Friday. They told me it will be here somewhere between 12 and 1. So if you want to listen and have some hope for the day, then you can tune into Channel 7. And then I think on the 24th of June, the sermon will be broadcasted. So that was a nice experience, and I thank God for that open door. Last week, over the long weekend, I ministered on a love for the church, and you know we are the church here. And this morning, I want to talk and share a little bit on God's word, you know. And I was just in the week as I was preparing, you know, we all know God's word. We have 1 or 2 or 5 Bibles. Many of us, we have quite a few. But there's a few specific things I want to bring out today and I want to share on. But before we go further, I would love to pray for us. Lord, we want to thank you, Lord, that we could stand here in your presence this morning and lift our hands and bring our worship and our praise and our offerings to you, Lord God. That, Father, that you are not our academic subject, Lord God, that we study, but that we can have a relationship with you, that we can be your children, Lord God, and that we as your church, Lord God, that we are living stones, that we can be here together, Lord. It's not this building that makes the church, Lord, but each and every one of us, Father. And I pray that you'll bless us together here this morning, Lord, and that your kingdom can come, Lord. And I pray, Lord God, for our flesh, Lord God, to turn out now, Lord God, and for our inner man, our spiritual man, Lord God, to stand up and shake the dust off, Lord God, and to open our hearts and our ears to hear from you this morning. Holy Spirit, I trust that you will do the ministry, that you will preach the sermon to every person here this morning, including me. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for this new season that we are in here, Lord God, in this new building, Father God, and where you are taking us, Lord. And I trust and I speak it, Lord God, that you are taking us from glory to glory, Lord. And Father, we are also a family, Lord God, and I want to thank you, Lord God, for all the mothers in the house, Lord God, for all the families, the fathers, the kids, Lord, and that you will bind us together, Lord God, that we will make time for each other, Lord God, that we will plan, Lord God, to spend time with each other, Lord. We know that life is so fast and busy in the day we live in, Father, but we want to plan, Lord God, and have time for each other as families, Lord God, but also as friends in church. In Jesus' name, amen. Now you know that as Christians, we need the Word of God. Okay, we can't grow or we can't mature without the Word of God. Now, if I were to ask you guys to tell me something, like if you were to stand up this morning and say, what is the Word of God? What is it to you? What does it mean to you? I guess then from every person here, we'll get a different opinion, a different answer that will have quite a range of what it means. But we know it's a word that was written over many, many years. And it has relevance for us today as the church. You know, it's not just a historic document that's there. It also has power. Scripture says that it's alive. Okay? And I remember, if I think back over my life, the other day I was repacking our garage, and I got this little white, little small Bible that I got today, way back that when I was still in the other church, you know, when I was... what's the word now there, guys? Here we've got now one. When I was baptized or ingeseen or what we will call it. But anyway, I've got it there and I saw the Dominie, I can't even remember who I was, wrote something and it said, you are called by your name, you are mine. And I think, wow, I've got it now for more than 3 centuries. And sometimes our Bibles, you know, sometimes when somebody passed me a Bible and I open it, you know, I see it's a clear book just as it was printed. And then sometimes I'll find the Bible and it's pink highlighted and with a blue pen, and that's the way to study your Bible, you know. I also thought many times it's like a bit of sin maybe to highlight something in your Bible, but I think it's you can go and whatever sentence, whatever paragraph, whatever word is special to you, you can highlight it. It's there for us to understand. So a while ago, last month, I read an article in the Joy magazine. Who of you read the Joy magazine? 3 of us. Great. You can read it. It's a good magazine. It's really solid and it's got solid doctrine and really nice articles from family to hermeneutics and apologetics and many things. Tours to Israel and all stuff like that. But I saw there was an article that say 12 trends of high, healthy churches. You know, and I went there and I know, obviously, you know, it's nice to evaluate you sometimes on somebody else's scale. But the first thing that was there was the first number one thing that they had. They said healthy churches have a high view of Scripture. And I really believe that we as Shofar Christian Church, as our family church, that we are a Bible-based church and that we have a high view of Scripture, that we really value that. And if you were to go to the internet or ask me, you will see in our statement of faith that we are built around, not around the vision that we have or anything like that in that sense, but we are built on the solid foundation of the Word of God. So I really gave us a tick there. I think there's one or two other ones we can improve in a little bit, but that thing, that one, I know we have. Last week or 2 weeks ago, one of our elders, Ronald, he was preaching on our DNA, who we are and what we represent. And I can tell you here this morning, you know, that the Word of God, that's part of our DNA. It's not something that we take from time to time, dust it off and read a few scriptures, and for the rest of the time we do what we want. Shofar and the Word of God are intertwined. It's one in that sense, I believe. I read a nice quote as I was reading Josh McDowell's book, Evidence, New Evidence That Demands a Verdict. And he said there that if Jesus wasn't God, he deserves an Oscar, you know, for acting. Because we know that Jesus is the Son of God. He was man, but he was also God. We know he was a historical person. And it's so nice to study all the evidence. Many times people will come with so many accusations against Scripture. And many times we don't know the answers because Scripture was written by about 40 people over 1,500 years. The study Bible I have has got about 2,000 pages. And you know, it's quite tough to have every doctrine, every part of Scripture under the knee. It takes quite a lot of study to get it right. But I want to encourage you. I don't want to be too technical. I'm not a person like that. But I really want to throw a few seeds here. How many of you, I asked the same question last week, how many of you use something like a Bible handbook or a good solid Bible commentary from time to time? A few more. That's good. That's good. You know? And that's just stuff that adds value. You know, we can take so many scriptures and ask, what does it mean? And some of them are tough. We can say what we think it means, but it doesn't necessarily mean we get it right. So I just want to dish out a few things here this morning for all of us as we study, as we, you know, we can read the scripture as devotion, that God can give us a message, something inspiring or something. But there's also a place where we can go and we can study the word, where we can take, say, Romans or 2 Timothy or Exodus, and we can go and study it and see why was it written, who wrote it, when was it written, was it in this time of Israel's history or here or there. There's so much that we can dig in, you know. And if I have to plot my own growth, you know, there was a time in my life that I read scripture and I thought, this is right, and I enjoyed it, and I prayed, and I went to bed, and that was kind of it, you know. But many times, you can ask Reinhold or David, the guys preaching here, many times you'll work on a sermon and you kind of dig and study, and then you get five more sermons, because we had an elders meeting, and David and Reinhold can witness now here on Thursday evening. And at the end, I said to the guys, because I preached last Sunday and then Tuesday again and today, so it's three sermons and five devotionals in 7 days, which is not bad, I guess. But by the way, but anyway, and I told the guys, shoo, I still don't know what I'm going to preach on, you know. But God is faithful. And as I started working on this one, I made a few notes and I thought, well, maybe in future this or that things, it's on my heart. It's on my heart for the church. Things that I guess we can preach on. A few days ago, Pastor Fred, our senior pastor that was here in April, he wrote a long letter to all of us for the pastors with covering a lot of things, you know. But it wasn't just something, let's say 7 pages with things that I must do or you must do or stuff like that. Every argument, everything that he wanted to talk about to his pastors was at the Bible foundation. Everything was supported by scripture, quoted in the right context, you know. And today there's so many sects and heresies and things that come from people that take a part of scripture from, you know, out of its context, and then they will use it to justify a cause or something. I guess all of us do it sometimes. Sometimes I will do it, maybe in the pulpit even, not knowing it. It's something that we should be alert to. So friends, let's read. You can read with me from Hebrews 4 verse 12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Now scripture will tell us if you are living a soulish a life in the flesh or in the spirit. It's like a prism. If we look through it, it will indicate something to us. It will show us. It's like a thermometer, you know. When we want to know how, if we're standing here and we want to know the temperature in the sun, we can take it and it will tell us something. Now this scripture is telling us that the word of God is telling us where we stand, what is happening inside, you know. And you all know that we can, according to scripture, we can hide nothing from God. How we always try to maybe hide something from each other, or, you know, I try to hide knives and forks and stuff like that from my 4-year-old boys for their own safety, okay? Sometimes we want to hide stuff as well. But God says, if you're going to read my word, it will cut everywhere. It will open up everything. And then you will know where you stand according to the word, okay? And the wonderful thing is, it's for our benefit. You know, that's like disciplining young children. We do it now, and it's a bit hard for child and parent in a sense, okay? But it's for the better, that when that child is 20 or 25 years old, that the fruits will be wonderful, that it will be blessed, okay? So we're going to read sometimes some things in Scripture that is going to be challenging to us. It's going to be a bit hard to us. But the blessing is, rather sort out those things now, than one day stand before God and maybe say to yourself, I wish I had, I wish I did, okay? I preached a while ago on writing our own testimonies, you know? The opportunity to write your spiritual CV. We've got it now. When we go to the dead and we ask them, what are you writing? They'll tell you nothing. We've got the opportunity now to write. Every day, you can add something, and add something to value, friends. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Okay? So if you are born again, spiritful Christian, the Word of God is just going to make so much more sense to you. Okay? Who have experienced that in their lives? A few of you have experienced it. You know, when you come into that relationship with Jesus Christ, okay, it's as if the things are starting to lighten up. It's like, I'll give you a quote now from Stewart and Fee, I'll keep it for later, that sometimes when you read something in Scripture, it's like a little prick inside your heart. There's someone saying yes. It's something that you will know, for sure this is the truth. I've seen it in my life. I know it. I can say amen to it. Okay? Now I just want to give you a bit of, I love statistics. My dad is there at the back and he's laughing already. I always ask him when I was small, like, you know, how fast can this, or how many that, or stuff like that. But I don't want to bore you with that. It's just the Bible is amazing in terms of its uniqueness, in terms of the way it was written, etc. The Bible, this book contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrine is holy, its precepts are binding, its history are true, and its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, and practice it to be holy. That was John MacArthur. Aha, it's up there. So you can read with me. That's what John MacArthur said. William Tyndale said, a ploughboy, now William Tyndale lived about 600 years ago, more or less. He said, a ploughboy with the Bible would know more of God than the most learned ecclesiastic who ignored it. Bottom line, friends, you know, if you are very intelligent, then I guess God has blessed you with the ability to maybe remember more or, in a slight sense, understand a little bit more. But what he's saying, you can be a ploughboy. You can be, you don't have to have 2 degrees in theology or something like that. God doesn't just want to have a relationship with, let's call it, clever people, academic people, anything like that. He wants to have it with all of us. That's why I said, God is not the academic subject that we study. He's a Father. Amen? Amen. Okay? So I want to encourage all of us to study is a good thing. The more theology you can digest understand, awesome. Okay? But for us, and, you know, the more you just grow in it, learn it, study it, you know, you will be richly rewarded in that way. There's some, okay, that point I already made. The Bible is a story, that's why I say God is a Father. It's a story about Him and the nation of Israel. And it's a story about Him and His church. And Jevon and you guys that were here last week, I preached on the church, a love for the church. That means a love for each other. So I want to encourage you also to love Scripture. You know, sometimes we want to rush through it and say to ourselves, I'm going to finish reading this script, this chapter or something. And then you run through it, or maybe you say to yourself, I've got 20 minutes now. And then when you finished, you're like, what did I read just now? Okay? Study it. Make time to read some passages over and over. And let it come out, you know, the importance of what it is. The Bible, as we call it, has got many names. It's the Holy Scriptures, the Word of God, the Word of Truth, Sword of Spirit, and many more. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, we read, and we also thank God constantly for this, that when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. Okay? So that's my prayer for us, that everything we will accept as the word of God. Okay? It's the inspired word by God we believe. Few more facts, friends. It was how many books does the Bible consist? Who of you know? Hey, 66. You are right. Who said that? Yay, the pastor's wife. That's great. Well, that's not my wife, of course. I mean, the other pastor in the church, the elder. Okay, it was written over 1,500 years. John Wycliffe made the first translation of the whole Bible into English. That was about 700 years ago already. It was penned down by about 40 human authors. Obviously, there was one divine author. There were kings, military leaders, fishermen, tax collectors, philosophers, scholars, poets. All of them made a contribution. And that's why you'll see Exodus looks different than Proverbs, looks different than Matthew, than to Revelation. Okay, then Ecclesiastics. Every book has got its own uniqueness. And that's beautiful. It's something that when we study a book, that we should, you know, that we should see. It was written in three continents, Asia, Africa, and Europe. It was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic, most of it. And then we see in Romans 15, verse 4, for whatever was written in the former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Okay? So we see and we understand there that whatever it's Paul writing to the church in Rome, last week I asked you guys, what is the capital of Rome? And then the people look quite funny at me, and then I guess, yeah, the Rome isn't the country, you know? I got it wrong in that sense. It's a capital. But anyway, the whole of the Old Testament, you know, it's relevant for us today. Although it was written how many years ago, it's still for every one of us. And that's what Paul is writing to the church here in Rome, and it says, it was all written for you. It was written that you can have hope, that you can have instruction. Okay? One of my favorites, in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Okay? So we know Scripture is there to build us up. Scripture is there for reproof, it's for doctrine. Okay? Many times, you know, there's subjects like biblical ethics that we rarely touch in church, stuff like you know, things related to that is many times foreign to our minds, but there's so much to study. And I'm going to make one or two points, and one of them is that when we leave today and you don't remember the Scriptures or the sermon or this or that you will go home, and that's my prayer for us, for all of us, that we can go home and study God's Word, that we can read it, that we can love it, that we can understand it, and that you can even dig deeper. A while ago, I gave a Bible commentary to my wife, and you know, she's reading it now, and she says it's opening up so much that she didn't know before, that she didn't understand before. And the more of context, and the more you understand of who wrote it and for who it was written, the more you will start to see, oh, okay, now I start to understand. So the next point I want to make is a little bit about understanding Scripture. If when we read it, how do we understand it? You know, I think at the first level, there's a place where we can just read it like anything else in life. Okay? And then, you know, it's just going to be that exactly to you. But there's a place where we can start to dig a little bit and to see what's happening there. And I want to talk a little bit, just a little bit touch on it, on exegesis and hermeneutics, okay? Now that sounds, you know, I can actually testify today. I became a pastor almost 4 years ago without even knowing what that meant. Okay? But fortunately there's things in place that we can grow in, okay? So maybe just to see something again, how many of you are familiar with that term? There's a few of you. That's good. That's excellent, okay? Because when you start to understand stuff like this, okay, then you're not just going to read something and say, well, Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, bring my cloak. Okay, now, must all of us do that as well? We're not Paul, we're not Timothy. You know, there's some things that you can't just read and then apply it in your own life in that sense. You can get hurt in that way. Okay? So I guess to some of you, I might be preaching to the converted and the convicted. You might be already be familiar with that. That's why I'm just going to throw out one or two things, especially for people that is younger in the Word in that sense. Okay, so it's up there as well. You can read with me. The aim of good interpretation is simple. It's to get the plain meaning of the text. And if you study it a little bit, they'll tell you one of the best assets you can have is common sense. Okay? Just to have some common sense. Sometimes they say, if you dig too much, you know, the pool are becoming a bit muddy. That you want to read something or get a revelation that isn't there. Okay? And I guess we as the charismatic church, as the Protestants sometimes, I guess some of us has done it all many times. where people would love to get something there, that at the end of the day you're getting something that was never intended, that it was never intended to be. Here's the quote from Stewart and Fee. I want to use the words. They said, "The correct interpretation, therefore, brings relief to the mind as well as a prick or a prod to the heart." Okay? And that is that place where you read something and it will speak to your heart. It will become alive to you. It will be like, amen, wow, I love this. You know, it will witness in your heart, in your spirit, in your inner man. Now, the challenge that we had, as I said before, is that Scripture was written approximately over 1,500 years. Now, sometimes in our lives, a month or 6 or 5 years are, you know, quite long. So we can't really understand in that sense how long 1,500 years are. That's really, really a long time in history. So it means that from the guys in Genesis or Exodus or wherever in Scripture, even in the New Testament, those people lived a very far away from us in thought and in practical. Maybe said with respect, if we can have the Apostle Paul or someone here, I think you would be very excited. Because imagine how many churches he can plant with PowerPoint, jet planes, emails, Wi-Fi, all those stuff that we have today. I think he would say, wow, guys, I don't know how these things work, but it looks good. We can use this. Okay? If many of the things we are used to, the technology we have here, it was quite foreign to them. But obviously the other way around as well. The life, the way they lived life, you know, he was shipwrecked. I guess none of us have been shipwrecked before. Praise God. I mean, so the bottom line is we need to understand that it was, the word was written back in that day because of certain circumstances. Paul or whoever wrote Peter to a certain crowd of people living in a certain place for a certain reason, okay? Scripture as we have it, especially in the New Testament, wasn't written just to give us doctrine. It was like task doctrine or task theology, where Paul was addressing the church in Corinthians or in Corinth about a certain issue they had, and he needed to correct it, okay? Okay, so the problem that we have, okay, now I want to use the example. Where's Jepson, my friend? Jepson? Jepson, you must come here. Then I want to use also Hannes, maybe. You can also come and stand here. Jepson, you can stand here to my right-hand side and Hannes to my left-hand side. I remember the word I'm going to use now actually does exist. Now, Jepson is a faithful friend. He maybe gave you, if you're a lady, he welcomed you today or gave you candy floss. That's nice. No, thank you, Jepson. Jepson is from Zimbabwe, so he doesn't understand Afrikaans. Hannes is from Gubabes, he doesn't understand English. No, Hannes? Okay. But Hannes, that makes it two of us. Okay. So there's something here. Hannes has actually twee buffels met een skoot mos dood geskiet fontein. They say actually that can be the name of a place in Afrikaans, one word. Jepson, what did I say just now? No idea. Thank you, gentlemen. You can sit down and I'll explain. The bottom line is just, we don't speak Greek or Aramaic or Hebrew, or most of us doesn't. And there's a reason when we study that people so say, yo, that is Greeks or that is Greek. It's difficult. If you want to start from scratch to learn one of those languages, especially in the biblical sense, you're going to have to be very clever and you're going to have to study really hard. Okay? So Hannes and the Afrikaans-speaking people here, you know, they will catch, I said something about two buffalo shot with one shot dead from spring or whatever. Okay? I don't know a place like that, but I remember from school that can be one word in Afrikaans. Okay? I hope I'm right. Now, the fact is here, we all need to interpret a bit because we've got Scripture in English or in Afrikaans or it's translated in so many languages for us today, but we're all going to do a bit of interpretation. You know, if you watch rugby or soccer or anything today, sports, World Cup, Olympics later in the year, you're going to understand the context, you're going to understand what it's about. But if you look at Scripture, okay, we just need to keep in mind that what we are reading there was way back, and there's a few rules to not get these things wrong. Are you with me? Okay. So the first thing, there's on two levels that we're going to need to work a bit on this issue. The first one is, first one has to hear the word they heard. You must try to understand what was said to them back there and then. Now that's called exegesis. That's where we dig a bit and we see who wrote it and for who was it written. It was the back there. And then when we use hermeneutics, it's when we read that same thing, but we say, what is it to the here and the now? What has it been to us? As I said, I'll use the examples, I'll give it to you just now. Some things, when Paul says, listen, send my regards to Prisca and Aquila or someone, that doesn't mean this is now doctrine we need to use. That was a letter or epistle that was written, and it was just a way of saying, send my regards. I mean, we do it the same thing, okay? Most of us don't greet each other with a holy kiss anymore, especially me and Hannes, you know, okay? But we shake hands and, you know, we kind of give each other a hug and stuff like that. So some context stuff has changed. So the first task of the interpreter is called exegesis. Exegesis is the careful, systematic study of Scripture to discover the original intended meaning, okay? So when you read Scripture, put your glasses or the hat on where you try to live yourself almost back in time and see it was written. And you know, most study Bibles help a lot. There's so many wonderful study Bibles. Commentaries will even help you more, a lot more. Bible handbooks will help you even a lot more in that sense, that you can just understand the context of that day, what was happening. Okay? And then, okay, so the good news is that many of us, we do exegesis without even knowing it many times. When we say stuff like, they used to, or back in those days, or what Jesus meant by, you know, those are typical phrases that we use while where we are interpreting in our own way. Okay, if you have a small group and you do Bible study, then you will say, but yes, in those days they did or used to or what. That means we are already interpreting what we understand because it's different from now. Okay, you understand what I say. So one of the challenges is when we start to do things like this is to be consistent. You know, many times, let's say my wife always catches me with this. Let's use an example. I will buy something I like. Okay, and then she will say, what do I get? Okay, or something like that. So the point is, when we want to apply some principles of understanding Scripture or interpreting it, we mustn't just do it at some places where we think it's necessary. Everything you should apply it to, okay? Otherwise, you're going to catch yourself. So the danger, of course, is to be too selective, or to read one's own foreign ideas into a text and thereby make God's word something other than what God really said. And that is, as I said, that is where, I don't want to use examples of other groups now, but that is many times where you'll see sects and those type of things, where they will use almost the rat poison thing, where 95% of it is good, or food in terms of the rat, and 5% is poison. And then they will draw someone or group of people close to them, okay? And then for starters, the Scripture, the doctrine, everything will sound solid, it will sound be sound and stuff, but then later on, you know, usually in those type of cults, the people will be drawn to the leader. But we know we want to just usher people to Jesus Christ, okay? That's the difference. And many of these guys, they get these things wrong. So two questions that we should ask. And this is the stuff, maybe some of it will be up there. You can ask me afterwards, write it down, try to remember it. Just one or two or few things I'm going to give to you as a tool that you can use at home. And the first one is the historical context. The time, the culture, the author, the political circumstances. Sometimes Israel was in war. Sometimes there was time of peace and prosperity. Okay, there's so much that you need to go dig in terms of that. It makes a difference, although we don't think so sometimes, to understand who was Amos or Haggai or Moses or any type of biblical figure. And many times, or Jonah, you know, I try to make a big effort before I preach on subject to study that book a bit and to see a bit of background about a person, okay? That can really help you. And then the next historical, the next thing about historical context that we can, that you can maybe look to, a question that you can ask, has to do with the occasion and the purpose of each book. Okay? Each book we have for us here for today, but it was also written back then and there. I said exegesis is the then and there, hermeneutics is the here and now. That's what we live in that time, if I can put it that way. Okay? So that you go and study and see why Paul wrote this, or Peter, or the Gospels, or the Old Testament, or anything. That, because many times we will just kind of read through it, and you will benefit from that. But it's better if you kind of take a pencil, a pen, maybe your laptop, and as you read, you maybe make a few notes. It was written to the church in Corinth. It was close to the sea. There was mountains. It was this, it was that. Okay? Or maybe if you have got a few questions, okay, type it down. Go to a small group leader. Or we are all clever today. You can go and Google it even. Just make sure you use a good search engine for a good website, you know, that you don't. There's a lot of flaky nonsense out there as well. But many of these things we can research for ourselves. And as I said, you know, the context of something like Proverbs isn't as important as maybe a pastoral letter like 1 Corinthians, okay? Then there's also the literary context, okay? You're all with me with the context. It was written in a certain setting. It means first that the words only, yeah, this is an important one, and many times we quote things, we quote scripture, but I want to encourage you here. I've written down here, it says, words only have meaning in sentences. And second, that biblical sentence, for most part, only have meaning in relation to preceding and succeeding sentences. Okay? So when you read a word, go and see what is the words next to it. What's the words in that sentence? And if you look at sentences, look at the rest of the paragraph before that, and that's still to come. Okay? Many times we will think we exactly know, and we will think, but the Holy Spirit showed me or something. But just go and test it a bit. They say good hermeneutics start with solid exegesis. That means if you want to apply it to the here and the now, you should know what was said then. It can never mean something it was never intended to. Okay? And here, you know, the more help you're going to get in terms of study Bibles, commentaries, exegetical commentaries, even stuff like that, it will really help you to understand. A good question you can ask yourself as you're reading through a passage, you can ask yourself, so what is the point? What is this? Okay? Maybe you're asking yourself, what is the point I'm trying to make here right now? Okay? But if you go and test yourself and say, what is the point of 2 Corinthians 3? That chapter, okay? Remember also, those guys wrote it in such a long, I don't want to lie to you, but I think one of the longest scrolls are almost 60 feet long, okay? We have got since the 1300s, we've got chapters with headings and stuff. They just wrote one long letter. It wasn't the way we have it today. So go and ask yourself, what is the thought of the author here? What is the point he's trying to make here? Okay, and if you just make it that little bit bigger, then you're going to get maybe the bigger picture as well. And that really helps a lot. Okay, that was a little bit about exegesis. If we just go on a little bit to hermeneutics, I said, although the word hermeneutics ordinarily covers the whole field of interpretation, including exegesis, it also is used in a narrower sense of seeking the contemporary relevance of ancient text. Another definition that will also be there, it says, hermeneutics is the science and art of biblical interpretation. Now, I've got a few nice biblical exegetical commentaries. Now, my exegetical commentary about the book of Matthew are thicker than the whole of my Bible. And when I start to read it, of the scholars that wrote those things, I think like, yo, they had to study quite a lot to get to a place of knowing. I mean, you must all know that in the schooling system there was a change. I remember at the last part of my, this is now where I'm going off the topic. You will remember, especially the older people, people my own age and older. Onthou julle daai goed, daai attributive byvoeglike voornaamwoord? I don't know what that stuff is in English. It was Those of you who are teachers or stuff, all those verbs and complicated stuff, I hated that stuff. But then I remember when I got here about grade 11, 12, it was more like just fill in the right word and stuff. It was very easy. But those guys, they study and they know the pronouns and the this and the fact that this, they know a lot of history and context, and it really helps to understand some of that. Now, maybe in your daily devotional time, you don't have to do that. But make some time, even if it's just for one book, and study a bit, read the theology, get to understand it. And obviously we don't just do that. We want to be transformed by that. We want to grow by reading scripture, by studying it, Some of the stuff you can, some of the stuff, all of it, you're going to employ or apply in your own life. You can take it to your small group and say, friends, I've read about this thing. Did you know that? And then you can share it with them. And that's valuable. As I said, okay, we are busy with hermeneutics, and we're talking about the here and the now. And those two examples I want to give to you, I've got them from 2 Timothy. The first one is 4 verse 13. And there, Paul was writing to Timothy, and he says, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. Okay? Now this doesn't mean anything to us, okay, in terms of that we need to apply this as doctrine in our own lives. It's basically the same as I was saying to Hannes and Jetson, listen, come and stand here, I want to use you as an example. He just said, listen, bring my cloak, bring the books. There's nothing really spiritual about that. Do you agree with me? Do you? You should. I studied it. Then I made sure I'm right on this one. Then 2 Timothy 4 verse 21. Do your utmost to come before winter. Eubulus greets you as well as Pudence, Linus, Claudia, and all the brethren here. Okay? The same thing. I'm saying, Johnny, send my regards to Leanne. Hannes, say hello to your wife. Stuff like that. This is in Scripture. It's inspired by God in that sense. But this is maybe a little bit more the human part, where Paul was just ending his letter and saying, it's right here at the end of chapter 4 in 2 Timothy, and just saying, listen, greetings, blessings, bring my cloak, please come before the winter. And I guess there's a connection between the cloak and winter. When it's cold, you need it. Stuff like that. This is just an example that we can understand that some scriptures will say, scripture is good for doctrine and for reproof and everything. We need to understand all of that. And some places, it will say something just like, you must have seen it there, the specifications in Numbers of building the ark or the temple or stuff like that. It's really interesting. Or you'll see some places, was the son of all the generations. And there's a place for that. But it's not something you have to memorize. It's not something we usually preach on in that sense. I hope you understand the point I'm trying to make. The golden rule about hermeneutics, when you want to apply the then and there to the here and the now, is that a scripture can never mean something it never meant. Okay? Now, there's a place for prophecy. There's a place in the New Testament. Jesus and many of the apostles also quoted from the Old Testament, and then they elaborated. Okay? But there's not anything being added for the past many, many, many centuries to scripture. There's even warnings that say we shouldn't add anything to scripture. It's generally agreed that the time of inspiration is finished. We've got since the Council of Nicaea, I think in 300 AD, we have scripture as it is. Nothing was added to it. Okay? So you must make sure when you want to take something and apply it in your life, that it mustn't be totally contradicting to what it was in the first, written in the first way. Are you with me? Okay, that's just something that you can test on to yourself. Okay? By reading the Bible, we should not just aim to increase information, but produce transformation. And that is the difference between reading a book on history, a book on any topic about horses or aeroplanes. It will add value. It will add information. Okay? But scripture, it must bring transformation in our lives. That's what it's for. Okay? It will bless you. Then, I'm almost finished, guys, on this sermon. I'm going to give you 6 questions that you can ask yourself as you're reading through Scripture. You can ask who. Who are the main characters? Who was writing it? To whom was it written? You can ask what. What is the main event? What is the message? Keywords. What does this say about God? You can ask the question when. When was it written? Does it refer to the past, to the present, to the future? Okay? We've got certain books that is reflecting on the past. Certain things are written here in the present. And a book like Revelation are for the future. Okay? You can ask where. Where does it take place? Was there rivers? Was there mountains? Is it in Africa, in Asia, in Europe? Where is this scene that we are reading about right now? Then you can ask why. Why was this written or done? What was the motivation? And that's where you'll see Paul had very specific reasons. While he was the best example of biblical theology, we'll find maybe in the book of Romans. Okay, but the purpose he wrote it wasn't to expand his theology and tell the people what it's about. Okay, he was addressing the church there in Rome. And then lastly, you can ask how. How are these things said or done? How does it fit in with the rest of Scripture? And then most important, how does it apply to me? Today, here in 2012, what does it mean to me? Is it like a bring my cloak before the winter? Or is it you shouldn't kill, steal and destroy? No. Wait. Or, you know, or like the Ten Commandments or anything like that. Is it something that you should really take note of for us right now? To end off with, friends, just a few tips. Consult your Bible dictionary. Read the introduction part of your study Bible. Dig a little bit into that and start to establish a love for the Word. It mustn't be something difficult, something foreign. Pace yourself at the season where you are in your life. Maybe it's time for you to get a Bible. Maybe it's time for you to get a second commentary or exegetical commentary. It will be different for each one of us. Then, another important thing, learn to read, if you can, a letter in one sitting. We can watch sport for 2 hours, a movie for 2 hours, or other books for 2 hours or what. Make a point. Start to read Romans. It will take you maybe an hour. Or some of the letters, it will take you maybe 20 or 30 minutes, or depending on how fast you read. Read 2 Timothy from the start to the end. Okay? Because that's a letter. Remember, it was written to people. Okay? Because when you received an email, for instance, and it's very long, you're probably going to read it from the start to the end. So get a habit of from time to time to read a letter from the beginning to the end. Otherwise, you're going to read a bit here, read a bit there, a bit here, and the puzzle isn't always going to make that much sense as when you read it from A to Z. Also, understand the bigger picture. Think paragraphs, okay? Think, okay, this is from, say, Romans 4 from verse 1 to 40. Okay, just the example. And ask yourself these questions that I've given you. Ask yourself, so what is this or why is this? Or ask yourself, what is the point? Okay? The interesting thing is, for many of the epistles or the letters we have in the New Testament, we have the answers, but we don't always have the questions or the problems. You will see they talk about mirror reading, where you have to pick up and see, kind of figure out, now, who was this enemies Paul was talking about? If you read the book like Galatians, you're going to have to read the speculations in your Bible commentary about who was the opposition, who was these guys that withstood Paul or something. Okay, some of it we have, some of it we figure out, but some things, I guess, will be difficult to do it. But so remember that as well. So friends, the things that I shared with you this morning, I trust that it will not be just a sermon, but it will be tools in our hands to bring transformation in our lives. Because the better students we are of Scripture, the better you learn to understand it, the better you will live, be able to obey it. And I want to challenge you as well. Maybe get you a friend, maybe your husband or wife, and someone, and then talk to them about Scripture you are reading. And say, listen, I've read this and that, but what is your seeing on this? I remember in one small group, you know, we said, we sometimes we just want to converge all. Sometimes it's okay to differ. You think maybe Paul meant this and the other person meant, say, no, but I think he meant that. And then go and figure it out or ask someone or look at other resources. Okay? Don't just sit there and read it and say amen and pray and then you can't remember what you said. This is something nice, and I really have grown to a place where I wish I can just make more and more time to understand more, to know more. Amen. Father God, we want to thank you, Lord God, for your amazing word, Lord, for this holy scripture you've given to us, Lord God. And thank you, Lord God, that as your word says, that it's powerful, Lord, and that it's life, and that it can cut like a two-edged sword, Lord God, between bone and marrow, Lord God. And Father, I pray, Lord God, that every day that when we read it, Lord God, that we will, with joy but also with fear, fearfully, that we will read it, Lord God, that we will know this is not just a story, Lord God. We believe it's your inspired word, Lord God, and that it, back there and then, Lord God, that it had a purpose for the Israelites and the people in Rome, Father, but that it also applies to us here, right now, Lord God, and that we can still feed from it, Lord God, that we can live it and obey it, Lord. I pray that you'll give us the strength, Lord God, to be faithful to it, Lord God, to make time, Lord, in terms of our lives and our priorities, Lord God, not to neglect your word, Lord God, that we can learn to love it and study it, Lord God, and Holy Spirit, that you will come and can come and make it alive to us, that prick and that prod will be there in our hearts, Lord God. And Father God, that as you say in your word, that we will be ready in season and out of season to preach your word, Lord God, that we will always have a revelation about a part of scripture that we want to talk about, that we want to live about, Lord God, and that we can be, yes, Father God, that can be part of our DNA, Lord God, that we can be a church, Lord God, that loves and live your word, in Jesus' name, amen. So today, this is something, it's definitely more of a teaching, and if there's anything here, you know, if you maybe have a tough time to obey the word of God, or if you're not sure if you're spirit-filled or not, or maybe you struggle to believe, or you don't know what you should believe and what you shouldn't, you know, I'm here, you can talk to me, maybe I can pray for you afterwards. And then I see Reinald, he's got a word on his heart. Reinald, you can come and just share it. But I want to ask you, can we all just stand here this morning together? Please.
Sorry guys, I just felt that the Lord just really laid something in my heart. And it's basically some part of the sermon I preached 2 weeks ago. And it's just that DNA connection that we've made. Whereas we just had that, well, I just shared the DNA is basically information. And this book is full of information, very valuable, life-giving information. It's something that we take for granted most of the time. I'll be honest with you, I do not read the words as much as I should. And I think for most of us that is very true, because this information, if we cannot apply it in our lives, it's something, if we do not know the information, how can we apply it in our lives? And if it's just information that we don't use and actually implement and use to put in our lives, it's useless. And it's so critical for us, just as Christians, for what we believe. It's just something that you need this. We cannot live without this. And it's something we take for granted, unfortunately, because it's something that we need to do every day. And it's just, Jesus is just such a powerful example of that word that he used. He could just quote it. It's my big dream to be able to quote scripture like he did. In context, in time, in the right season, and it just breaks open up something in our lives. It just opens up something that we couldn't understand, something we couldn't accept, something we couldn't fully grasp, or just, it's almost like a prophecy. Yes, this is your current state in your life, but then the word comes and gives you a word that's just in season, in the right time, and it's just like, oh God, thank you for that word. Thank you for that amazing something that just pops into your heart, just as you read the word. It's something that this word is so alive to me. It's just a testimony in my life. In my third year at Varsity, I went into a very deep depression. And it was something that I couldn't explain why. I was maybe studying too hard. And I could not get to grips with my life as a student at that stage. And I can remember one night I had this dream. I was being chased around. It was like this dark environment with dead trees and things. And it just felt to me something was chasing me, and I was running away from this thing, and I couldn't stand and turn and see what it was that's chasing me. I just wanted to run because I had this fear. I couldn't understand. I just wanted to run. And I woke up from this dream. And I just knew something is wrong. Something has to change right now. And I just took the Bible. I can't even remember what I'd read. I wish I could, but I couldn't. Because this was like 3 o'clock in the morning or something. And I just started reading the Word. And this time I went to sleep again. I had the same dream, the same environment. But it's like this life inside of me. It's like my hands were alive with fire. And I started looking for this thing that was chasing me. And I could not understand it. It's just gone. And as I'm looking for this thing, it's just like this power is building up inside of me. It's wanting to consume me, and I want to destroy this thing that's chasing me, and I can't find it. It's just gone. And in my dream, I just remember going down on my knees, and I just touched the ground, and that energy just flows. And when I woke that morning, my depression was gone. It was gone. I didn't go for counseling. It was not something I prayed for. I just realized that I had it. Afterwards, actually, I realized I had depression. And just this word somehow changed my life. It just removed it from me. But if it's lying next to your bed and you're not reading it, it's useless. So I just want us all to close our eyes. And I just want you to think about this word. When was the last time that you've read it? When was the last time that you really, really just experienced that life-giving word that it is? And if you're struggling with a word, I just want you to raise your hand right now. It's just something it's not alive to you. It's not something that you're excited about. It's not something that you want to read every day. It's not like life-giving bread. I just want you to raise your hand right now. And we just want to pray with you, just to ask God, just ask the Holy Spirit just to break something. Or maybe there's something in your life that you're trusting God for. And God just wants to touch your heart through His word, not necessarily through people while praying for you. Just His word. His word is enough. If that is you, I just want you to raise your hand as well. Now, I just want to call you forward. If that's something God has laid in your heart, I just want you to step forward right now. And we just want to pray with you.
Thank you, friends, for being here. I trust that you'll enjoy the rest of the Sunday. If there's anything else that you would like to talk about or pray with, I'll be here in the front. For the rest of you, I think there's 3 or 4 candy floss left. So the first guys there for that line up for coffee, you can have it. Enjoy the rest of your day. Be blessed, and please spend some time with us and in some fellowship afterwards. Amen.